Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship. Today's message. We find ourselves in summertime. This is the time of year that people all over the globe, not just in the United States, but in Europe and around the world, that usually will try and make plans for a special getaway, for a vacation, somewhere where they can gather with their family and friends. And if you ask them, why do we do that? It's because we want to try and get away. We want to try and get away from the routines that dominate our lives the rest of the year. And we want to kind of get back to what is really most important in our lives. About family, about centering our lives, about beauty, about serenity, things that seem to escape us the rest of the year. And sometimes we can feel like our lives are getting off course, that something's just not right, and vacations allow us to recenter our lives and to become who God really created us to be. The Bible is full of stories about the nation of Israel, about God leading his people, not just the church, but about Israel and about the Old Testament, about people that had gotten off course, that over time they began to follow other gods or they began to do other things, and God is constantly trying to call them back. And so he uses prophets and special people that come into our lives to try and draw us back to who we were really created to be. During the summertime, maybe you go to different festivals. I know that during the 4th of July kind of weekend, there's a big festival that occurs in Cedar Lakes. It's a craft show. And people from all over West Virginia bring their crafts. And if you ever want just a wonderful day away, go to Cedar Lakes and you will find people that do some of the most amazing crafts. Whether it's with wood or whether it's with knitting or wool or cloth or whether it's with pottery. One of the most magical things is if you ever get a chance, oftentimes they will have potters that will gather and they will actually begin to make something. And it's really almost a magical moment to watch them come to like either a bucket or some kind of a bag, and they'll have this big kind of, usually it's like a big gray blob, a big mass of really nothing. And they'll put it on the middle of a wheel, they'll add some water, and they'll begin to work. And it's out of that mass, out of that sense of chaos, that something wonderful begins to develop, but something that's only in the mind of the potter. During summer, when we begin to reorient our lives, we have to ask, where do we go to find those answers? Where do we go to reconnect and to say, what was our life really about? Are we on the right path? Are we doing what we're supposed to do? Or do we feel kind of out of balance, out of central? The prophet Jeremiah, God spoke to the prophet Jeremiah in order to recenter the people. And he tells them, he said, I want you to go to the potter's house. And there you will receive a word as I share with you the direction for my people. In the ancient world, everything pretty much was done with pottery. At night, if you wanted to light your house, you had a little oil lamp, but oftentimes that oil lamp was just a little clay pot that had a wick in it. So even clay and the pottery was used for light. If you wanted to carry water from the well back to your home, you had to have a clay pot to do it in. If you had utensils, if you had a plates that people ate off of, it would often be a clay pot. That's what you would cook with. Everything centered around that image of the potter making something special. When we think of our own lives, when we think about what are we becoming, when you think about where you've been as a small child, and you think about the journey to where you are today, if you think about it, it's almost as if there's an unseen hand that is molding and shaping, if we're aware of it. And so Jeremiah listens to the word of God, and he goes down and he watches. He pays attention to what's happening in the potter's house. And this morning I want us, if you will, to take that journey with Jeremiah, to go to this house that is to be shaping, and to ask God to speak a word to us this morning about our own lives. Would you join with me as we share the word of God as it speaks to us, as God speaks through Jeremiah to our own lives this morning? Would you share what is on the screen? This is God's word for my life in this place and at this time. Today I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I know He has a purpose for my life. Listen to the word from Jeremiah. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, "Can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does?" declares the Lord. "Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hands, Israel. If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation warned repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disasters I had planned. And if at another time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I had intended to do for it." This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Almighty God, this morning, let your Spirit work within us. Let us be molded and shaped. Let us be transformed in your gentle hands. In Jesus' name, amen. God had raised up a nation for himself, a people that were liberated from Egypt, from slavery, to be a people wholly dedicated to God. But over time, over circumstances, the nation had gotten off course, and they began to follow other gods. They began to have other purposes. They began to look other directions for guidance and wisdom. Maybe they wanted to be the most powerful nation, so they made alliances with Assyria and with Egypt. They began to forget who God was. They began the central identity for which God had created them. What happens to us when we forget who God is? When we forget, how do we go? Where do we go? Where do we turn to find the answers for what God is doing in our lives? Very often, if you look at our world and you look at the circumstances that are happening, very often you could say, this world is something that has been turned upside down. We're looking at other places. We think we are the power of the world. We should set the agenda, and we put God in second place. If I have time for God in my life, then I will be present. And so God speaks a word to Jeremiah. Go down to the potter's field. Go down to the potter's house and watch. In Isaiah's prophecy, Isaiah prophesies along the same lines. God is speaking through Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 29. He said, "You turn things upside down, as if the potter were thought to be the clay. Shall what is formed say to the one who formed it, 'You did not make me'? Can the pot say to the potter, 'You know nothing'?" God is speaking through Isaiah, employing us to recognize that we are accountable to God, that God created us, God has a purpose for us, that today and every day God is working within us, even in this sanctuary. This sanctuary is the potter's house. It is here that we are molded and we are shaped and we are becoming what God had envisioned for us all. This is the potter's house. And in that imagery, God is giving us a couple of things that are central to our health, our direction. If we have something else that is our priority, our authority, it will always lead us astray. So what is Jeremiah trying to tell us? The first thing that Jeremiah wants us to know from this passage is the word authority. When you go to the potter's house, there is no doubt who is the potter and who is the clay. That in that moment of molding and shaping, it is in the mind of the potter that he begins to shape the clay. He begins to mold it into what he would have it to become. When we think about the direction of our own life, what are those authorities that decide what we will do and what we will not do? What are those forces? Is it fashion? Is it the fads of the circumstances, of the culture? How do we decide who we become? What do we give our allegiance to? What is the power in our life? Is it finances? God calls to Jeremiah and he said, when you look at your life, I am the potter. I am shaping you. And I know what it is that I want you to become. We learn who our authority is. I love this passage from Isaiah. Yet you, O Lord, are our Father. We are the clay and you are the potter. We are the work of your hands. As Christians, as members of this body, as members of this church, we allow ourselves, we yield ourselves to the molding of God's presence in our life. We are clay that God is molding. We don't exactly know what we're going to become because God is shaping us through the events and circumstances of our life. Is God your authority? The second thing that Jeremiah wants you to know is a sense of confidence. He tells this story in a very interesting way. He begins by saying that the potter sat at the wheel, and as the wheel turns, he said, but the pot became marred. The pot had a flaw in it. There was something about the pot that wasn't exactly under the working hands of the skilled hands of the potter. It wasn't exactly what the potter wanted. It had a defect. Now, maybe that defect would have presented itself when the pot was dried, or maybe when it got fired in a kiln, it would not be able to stand up to the pressure, the testing that would inevitably come, and it would be thrown out and be useless. But under the skilled hands of the potter knows. And it said, but instead of just casting it aside, it says that the potter then began to form something else. That the wonderful good news is the potter begins again. And we have gathered this morning because we need to be remolded, remade. We need to be shaped. We need to find those flaws before it is too late. We need to know under the gentle guiding hands of the potter the problems or the flaws in us and draw them out and then be remade. But as the potter was being shaped, there was a flaw, but he was making it as he saw fit. I love that passage that as the potter begins to shape it as they deem what is best. Can the pot say to the potter, this is what I want to become? Or does the potter look and say, this is what we shall be? And so there's a sense of confidence of saying, under God's hands, we will be the best we can become. God will restore all the beauty and bring out all of the perfection that he created in us if we will do two things. One, we have to yield ourselves to God. The clay that doesn't yield itself is flawed from the beginning. Very often you'll see a potter begin to throw water on the clay, soften it, make it workable, make it pliable, allow it to be worked. The other thing that happens is in a spinning wheel, what happens if the clay is not centered? As the wheel begins to pick up speed, it flies apart. We need to be pliable, we need to be workable, and we need to remain centered. Get off of that centered, get off of that center, and your world will spin apart. We have confidence in God that he will work the best that we can have. And finally, the word reveal. The idea to discover what is God's best. We don't even know what next week will hold for us. We have no sense of idea what will lie in store for us in the week ahead. But as the potter begins to shape us, he reveals the very best in us. that sense of God remolding and remaking who he can fully become, shaping us into different vessels for his use. Even the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 9 says, we have this treasure being the image of Christ. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, or in other translations, in clay pots. God uses the simple things to bring glory and honor. In these vessels are things like integrity and generosity and compassion. God shaping and molding us. But how does God do that? In our own lives, how does God take where you are today and begin to shape and to mold you? How are those tools that he uses to come to the house that shapes and molds? The first thing that he does is he uses the word. The word of God is powerful, it is alive, it is active. When you engage in worship and you hear God, it begins to shape you subtly, simply. As you engage in reading God's word, it begins to mold your character. As you're spinning in life, it begins to shape you and mold you. Do you yield to the hand of God as revealed in his word? The second thing is often the most profound, those close encounters, you know, those special moments, those events in your life that are transformational. Maybe they can be big things, like a birth of a child or a marriage, or maybe they're tragic events, an illness or a loss of a relationship. These big moments, and maybe they're very simple, very subtle. Maybe they're a mission trip. Maybe they're a special Sunday school class, but events that God used to shape who you are and who you will become. We have to make ourselves available to them. And finally, to those special people. Is there somebody special in your life that you can think of right now that as you were growing up through the years was almost like an unseen hand? Their voice or their presence just shaped you and molded you, and they inspired you. Well, so often we want to think about how is God shaping us, but let me ask you, how are you as a Christian, how are you shaping others? How is God using you to be a blessing to those that are around you? This morning we were just really blessed, as we all are for a church, to welcome three new members that were baptized into the household of faith, and we got to see God's unseen hand molding them. And then following that moment, that sacred moment when we celebrated baptism, there was a young visitor that was here and said, I want that too. And the hand of God continues to move in their life. And so this morning as we gather, we gather in this sanctuary, we can almost feel the hand of God molding and shaping us, guiding us. And we say, I don't know where I am right now, but God is making something fantastic. And sometimes when you get to that stage and you get into that kiln of fire and temptation and trial, it only transforms that clay into something beautiful like porcelain. But I want to leave you with one final thought. If you've ever watched that TV show, The Antiques Roadshow, have you ever seen that? People bring in what seems like junk, and it turns out to be, you know, almost priceless. I'm always amazed because one of the things that I've noticed, whenever they bring in, like, pottery, instead of, you know, they pick this up at a garage sale, what's one of the first things that they do to check its value? Usually what they'll do is they'll pick up something like this, something simple, and they'll turn it upside down, and they'll look to find a mark. Do you bear the mark? Do you bear the mark of the maker? And I've always thought about that, especially in light of Jeremiah's text. And I wonder this morning, ask yourself this question that only you can answer. Do you bear the mark? When Jesus comes, and whenever we find ourselves before the throne, I don't know how this will work. I don't imagine that God's going to flip us upside down, but do you bear the mark? Do you bear the mark? You've been in my hands. You've been I've been molding you and I've been shaping you. And sometimes there's been an imperfection that I've had to start over, but I will start over because I have the best intentions for you. And my hands will be gentle and they'll guide you, and I'll need to make you pliable. But in the end, I will put my seal that you are mine. I've made you. You are what you are today because you bear my mark. Do you bear the mark? Is Jesus burned into your soul? Is it there? Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks for this day. We thank you for your gentle touch in our lives. We pray, oh God, that you mold us and you shape us and you caress us and you encourage us by the power of your word, by the people that inspire us and in the circumstances that direct us. Help us, oh God, to yield to your gentleness, to remain centered, and to believe that you will reveal your glory in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.